believe the many poll scenarios of how the Electoral College votes are going to fall next Tuesday, then there's a huge momentum swing for Barack Obama in the battleground states. Poll analyst Nate Silver thinks Obama has a 75% chance of winning the election. Betfair Markets gives him about a 67.8% chance. Intrade gives him 61.7%. The Iowa Electronic Markets give him a 61.8% chance. The electoral vote count right now ranges from well over 300 down to 295. It takes 270 to win. And the conservative-leaning Real Clear Politics has Romney slightly up in the popular vote, but solidly winning the electoral votes. Is it possible the smart money in this contest is suddenly more worried about close Senate races around the United States? Virginia and Massachusetts are two of the Senate races to watch. The Massachusetts U.S. Senate race between Republican incumbent Scott Brown and Democratic challenger Elizabeth Warren may be one of the most closely watched in the country. Outside groups have spent millions on the Massachusetts race. Recent polls show candidates in a tight race there. And in Virginia, you'll recall, Democratic Senator Jim Webb chose not to run again, leaving room for a tight race between two candidates well-known in the state, former Democratic Governor Timothy Kaine and former Republican Governor George Allen. We're joined right now by WGBH's political reporter Adam Riley. We also have Wes Hester, political reporter for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. But let's begin with the Massachusetts race. Adam?
Well, I should start with this debate that was supposed to happen on Tuesday. It was going to happen here at WGBH. It was going to be the fourth and final debate between Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown. On Monday, as Sandy was coming into Massachusetts, Brown issued a statement saying that he was pulling out of the debate, that it was no time for politics, that it was time to focus on disaster relief. Shortly after, Elizabeth Warren issued a comparable statement. And then we and the other members of our media consortium tried to get Brown and Warren to reschedule. Warren was willing to debate on Thursday, and Brown wasn't. And he has essentially said that, you know, he and Warren have debated enough. People know where they stand, and it's you know, time again to focus on disaster relief. What made Brown, what made his action, I think, especially striking to a lot of us is that on Friday, he had talked very tough about how, come hell or high water, he was going to be at this debate on Tuesday. He knew that Sandy was coming. He was asked about that, and he said, oh, you know, I have a truck, and it's got four-wheel drive, and as long as the electricity's on, I'm going to be there, and I'll pick up Elizabeth Warren if she needs a ride. The electricity was on, and he took a pass.
Interesting. How close is this race, and how much outside money has come into this race?
You know, the race is several polls have suggested that it is actually heading in Elizabeth Warren's direction. There were a flurry of polls in the last week or week and a half that showed her opening up maybe a 4 or 5, even a 6 or a 7 point lead over Brown. Interestingly, he chose to opt out of that fourth debate a couple hours after one outlier poll came out conducted by the Boston Globe and the University of New Hampshire, which showed him leading Warren by 2. So there's some speculation that maybe he thought that, you know, that poll indicated the actual state of the race and that that gave him impetus to decide that one more debate wasn't worth it. But again, that the broad trend seems to suggest that Warren is taking control. And what makes that very striking is, you know, about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, the Democratic mayor of Boston, Tom Menino, said that he thought Brown was unbeatable. Now, in fact, he looks eminently beatable. And it seems, you know, if you were going to bet right now, the smart money would probably be on Warren. But the caveat there is that no one thought Brown was going to beat Martha Coakley 2 years ago. And he did. He beat her
absolutely,
by 5 points.
Absolutely. The wise Adam Riley, political reporter at our partner WGBH. Hold on there. We've got Wes Hester, political reporter at the Richmond Times-Dispatch on the Virginia race. Let me remind you, in Virginia, Democratic Senator Jim Webb chose not to run again, leaving room for a tight race between two candidates well-known in Virginia, former Democratic Governor Timothy Kaine and former Republican Governor George Allen. In Gov versus Gov, Wes Hester, how's it going?
Well, it's been extremely tight for well over a year and a half here. Lately, including a poll yesterday, it seems like Kaine has developed some sort of an advantage. We've seen a smattering of recent polls showing him with a lead of anywhere between 4 to 7 points. Republicans contest that, say the polls are skewed, and their internal polling shows it is deadlocked still. So I think it's going to be down to the wire here, much like the presidential race.
And any sense that what's going on the East Coast and parts of Virginia were affected by this storm will have an impact on breaking this deadlock?
I think it's still a question. A lot of Virginia was spared severe damage, but northern Virginia around the D.C. area, I think there are still a lot of power outages up there. The governor's asked registrars to extend their early voting hours by 8 hours. So I think it's hard to say at this point, but maybe not.
Although the early voting seemed in 2008 to be overwhelmingly on the side of the Democratic candidate, Barack Obama particularly, if they've loosened the rules on early voting in Virginia, wouldn't that tend to favor Democratic candidates? If people are going to the polls early to vote for Barack Obama, they would be likely to vote for the Democratic Senate candidate as well?
It's tough to say. You might think so, but all of the noise that I hear is that Republicans have the advantage in early voting this time around. So it's tough to say in Virginia where no one registers. There's no one registers by party. So it's hard to tell what's truth and what's fiction.
Trying to figure out the metrics of a very tight Senate race in the state of Virginia. That's Wes Hester, political reporter at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Let me put the same question to you, Adam Riley. Has this storm, Superstorm Sandy, had an impact in New England, in Massachusetts, in this Senate race? You've had some power outages here and there, nothing like what's gone on in New Jersey and New York. But what's the deal?
Yeah, you're right. There's no comparison with what happened here and what happened in New Jersey and New York. I actually was following Brown around from stop to stop on Tuesday when he was, instead of prepping for this last debate, doing disaster relief. And, you got the sense that he thought there was going to be more damage to tend to than there really was. So I think that, anytime you have a natural disaster like this, if an incumbent handles it well, it makes them look authoritative and effective and probably is going to help them at the ballot box. But because the impact here was minimal compared to New York and New Jersey, I'm not sure that that is going to work in Brown's benefit the way it would for someone like, say, President Obama. It does put the challenger in an awkward position because if they go around surveying storm damage or doing photo ops, they almost look a little too opportunistic. Warren went to one or two spots on Tuesday. One of them, at least, was one of the same spots that Brown went to. But she kept a fairly low profile, and I don't think it's going to really help him or hurt her.
Well, no time to put you guys on the spot and ask you to call the race, but thanks so much. Two tight Senate races. Adam Riley's political reporter at our partner WGBH in Boston. Wes Hester, political reporter at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Thanks so much, guys.